make no mistake, if you're an author, you're an entrepreneur. You're selling the world on your book, aren't you? Of course, it's not as easy as launching a business and then tossing any old book up on Amazon. That's why I help entrepreneurs publish books on the specific topic and in the specific way that will launch or grow their businesses. Welcome to Entrepreneur Publishing Academy with your professor, Anna David. Well, hello there. You are listening to Entrepreneur Publishing Academy with your host and professor, Anna David. Today, I have a good friend of mine on the show. I thought she'd been on the show. I texted her last week and I go, "We've done this, right?" Nope. I was confused because I'd done her podcast. And her name is Veronica Valley, and she is one of the leading experts on addiction and recovery. And she is somebody who is atypical in that world because she has both clinical and personal experience, which makes her very knowledgeable and a very delightful human. And she has a podcast called Soberful and a community called Soberful. She's a member of the NAADAC, and her book is called Soberful. And she's been on The Doctors and in the Sunday Times in London, where she's from, as you will soon hear with her, you know, very awesome accent. And what we talked about in this episode, these are the three takeaways. One, get help from the experts when you are doing a book. Know what you know how to do and what you don't know how to do. And probably what you know how to do is share whatever message is calling to you. And that is her second tip. Listen to your inner voice. What are you being called to do so that it becomes something you want to do, so then it becomes something you need to do in terms of getting your message out there? And finally, look for the journalists and bookers who get your message, who understand the depth of your message, but also use the ones who don't get it to get your message out. The example she gave is she'll go on TV and give, you know, tips for Sober January, even though her message is much deeper. It is a way to get her message out. So that's enough from me. Please enjoy my conversation with Veronica Valley. Hello, my love.
Hi, Anna. It's good to see. Oh, you've got a red microphone. Wow. I'm impressed.
I know. Did you know that back when I was totally broke, sorry, listeners, we're already going on a segue. This incredibly wealthy woman I knew said, always have a red wallet and never put your purse on the ground if you want to attract more money.
Okay.
So I stopped putting my purse on the ground. Every time I put my purse on the ground, I think of her. I have more money. She didn't say anything about a red mic, but I mean, maybe.
Why not? Go with it, right? Go with it. You know.
Yeah. So, okay. So we adore each other. I don't feel like I'm, you know, speaking out of turn when I say we adore each other. We go on romantic bike rides around Lake Tahoe. We take pictures. We eat BLTs.
You know, I want to say that's very true, because I saw, I think you had an Instagram post on Friday, and you've always made me laugh. You're very funny. And you put something on there about like repurposing stuff that you heard in meetings as copy. And I just thought, I just love that she goes to meetings. I love that she works a program, and I love that she goes to meetings, and I love that she is still showing up for people in that capacity. And that's what I love about you. I really love that post.
You always say that to me, and that means so much, because you do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't occur to me not to.
I know. We're old school. I mean, we're very old school.
Yeah.
We got sober. I mean, we got sober the same year.
Yeah.
Before the internet was really a thing. I mean, I had a Hotmail account back
then. Yeah.
2000, right after the millennium. Millennium, like I got 5 months into the new millennium after the, like, let me tell you, I went out on the millennium New Year's Eve and didn't come back for 3 days. Like,
oh my God. Well, okay, that's really interesting. And again, listeners, I so apologize for this segue. Millennium, I was in Paris. So girl, you and I were probably pretty close to each other.
No, I was in Key West.
Oh, nice. Nice place to bottom out.
But yeah, Paris is pretty good.
Paris, oh God, was it dark. I went out and I, you know how people like us can be. I went into a club like when I got there and I was like, who? Okay, there's the guy who does coke. And he became my boyfriend for the 2 weeks. I mean, I liked him, you know, it wasn't, you know, and he was a nude photographer. I don't mean
of course, if he's in Paris, of course he is. And what else did you think you'd find in a Paris nightclub?
He took nude photos of me. Oh. Anyway, that was, and then I lasted 5 months.
I hope those are locked down. I mean, not, I'm sure they're lovely, but.
They're so not lovely. To add insult to injury of the ridiculousness of that act is I was pretty overweight, which is really, really rude of cocaine, frankly.
Oh, yeah.
I was overweight when I was a coke addict, whatever. But I went to rehab in May.
Wow.
So that was the same as you. It sounds like 5 months in.
Yeah. I mean, limping along, not really able to like continue any further. And same thing, cocaine brought me to my knees.
Yeah.
I'm actually, I feel grateful, to be honest. Oh, I think if I hadn't have used cocaine in particular, I could have drank for another 15 years.
Same.
Right?
It just very unhappily.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't have been great, but it finished me off.
Totally.
Finished me off. Oh.
Which is a lovely segue into the fact that here you are 20 years, over 20 years into being really, you know, an expert in this topic. And now is the time that you chose to do the book. Seeing many other people who possibly did not have your expertise, who certainly didn't have your sober time doing it before you. Tell me about that.
Well, it's my first book with a publisher. I did maybe 15 years ago, my husband, who I was dating at the time, said to me, you have to write a book. You have to write a book. You say all these things. You come out with all these things that are just really smart and blah, you have to write a book. So I wrote a book. I hired a book coach. I'm really dyslexic. So that was very daunting, really daunting for me. And I two things really changed my life. When I got diagnosed with dyslexia, I was in my first year of university, I was failing. And I got a tutor who just gave me a way of writing that my brain understands. And then hiring a book coach. And I wrote the book and I had zero platform, zero. And we had a couple of publishers interested, but they said, you have zero platform. So I self-published it and it did pretty well for somebody who has no idea what to do about marketing, no idea whatsoever. I had a blog. And then I did a second one just because, and then I was on the plane home from She Recovers in LA, which must have been 2018, I think it was. And I had seen a lot of people publish lots of books on the back of having large Instagram accounts, whatever. And I want to say several things. The quit lit genre is a great thing. It's a great thing that we're hearing more and more stories, and it's a great thing that people are being more public. But I felt what I was seeing was a lot of inspiration and identification, like, oh my God, that's me. Oh my God, I could be like that, but no solution.
Yeah.
I just didn't feel there was anything out there that had, right, I want to stop drinking. I've stopped drinking. That's better. But I don't understand why I feel the way I do. I don't understand why life is so hard. I don't understand why my relationships are so difficult. I don't want to understand why I'm kind of just lost and all of that kind of stuff. So I wanted to write a book from a therapist that was more the how, like the, like not just how you get sober, but this is the work of sobriety. This is like that you and I know, like you have to do this work. You have to. Otherwise, all you get is the same life not drinking, and that isn't shiny and sparkly.
Mm-hmm. And of course, a lot of people disagree with us, but that's absolutely fine.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I don't know about you, I'm an addict to my core, and I want everything.
Yeah.
I want it all. And I was never prepared to stay, like, you know, I'm just going to stay sober one day at a time and sort of plod along. I was like, I don't want that. Mm-mm. I want everything. I want a life. I want it to be, So I'm not, I was never prepared to settle for that. And, yeah. and I got given these tools and, you know, picked up a lot on the way in my work as a therapist and blah, blah, blah. And that just came together as the five pillars of sobriety in the book. So I was on the plane where I was like, I have to write another book. And I started, and I wrote 15,000 words, just went, and it all came out.
On the plane, that trip.
Maybe in the, I don't know if it was the 15,000 words on that plane, but certainly a substantial start. Yeah, I think I was going from LA to New York, so quite possibly.
And then you didn't have the podcast at that point, right?
No, I did. I did have the podcast. When did we start? We're coming up to our fourth year.
It was, I think that She Recovers.
I think I just started the podcast maybe.
That She Recovers in LA was 2017.
No.
I believe it. Really believe it was.
I think it. No, I think it was. It wasn't. Right. I think it was September 2018 because they do them about every year and a half because they were going to do the next one Miami in the spring of 2020, which feels about. I'm positive it's two. It was. Okay. And I'd had the podcast, and it was just sort of a little thing, and then it. Kind of, I don't know if it went viral, but it some people shared about it in lots of sober communities, and it grew and grew. Now, of course, everyone has their mother has a podcast.
Well, yes. Now, so then it grew, and then did a publisher come to you with this book for this offer?
No, I want to say from start to finish, it's the easiest thing I've ever done in my whole life. The hardest thing was writing it during 2020 lockdown with all my children and everybody home, like just finding the space. So I don't know how woo you are, but I've had several incidences in my life where I've just had that, this shall be. Hmm. So I met my husband on match.com and I saw his photo and went, oh, that's my husband.
You guys told me that story and it was making me laugh so much because then you were like pursuing him. You're this goddess. That he's not a god, but the two of you are telling me this story about how you were just like relentless. I loved it.
So I just had this thing on the plane where it was just like, I need to write a book. It needs to be a book that gives people the how, the answers. I'm going to get it published. I will find a publisher and that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I found the best thing I ever did, and I think this is what you do, is I found someone recommended to me I guess he was a book coach, but he had, he helped me put a proposal together. I whenever I write something, I have to have an editor. I have to have someone help me. I just can't ever put anything out there that I've just not put through someone else because of my dyslexia. So he helped me put together the book proposal. Like, and my podcast, I want to say, was still fairly modest at that point. I feel like I looked at the book proposal the other day and it was 17,000 downloads a month. So it was all right.
That's really good.
Maybe it was even less than that. Hmm. There are between 13 and 17. It's now 40. But so he helped me shape all of that and put it all together. And he took it to agents, and I knew the agent who picked me up would be sober. I knew that would be the person who got it. So I got my lovely agent, Stephanie Tade, and she got me to Sounds True, who was the perfect publisher for the book. And then this all happened right February, March, 2020. So all of that was going down. And I had moments like thinking, I've just got a publishing deal and the world is ending. The world is ending. It's not fair. We're all going to be in bunkers.
I remember when I was first selling my first book, meeting this guy who said, it's the worst thing when you get a book deal and then you think I may die before it comes out. And I love that a book becomes such a priority that that's worse than the death part, is that you may not see it. But it's so indicative of how excited people get. So you get your book deal, and in this time between getting sober and this time, you have built up a massive online program. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, again, so I've been working as a psychotherapist in the UK in rehabs. I've started and run my own rehab, had a private practice in Harley Street. And I came to America and I had to take everything online and become a sober coach and all that kind of stuff. And I've always seen people get sober and see business opportunities and want to exploit those business opportunities. So I've seen lots of people come and go, lots and lots of people come and go. In back in the, like, you know, before kind of social media, before 2010, lots of, you name it, sober companions, sober referrals, sober this, sober that. And I've seen, I can't think of one that's still going, because the reason that we're still standing is we still have the roots of a really solid program. Mm-hmm. So I saw that online as well, the same thing. I see it, you know, just see it all the time, people selling sober services to get sober based on what they've done, stuff they've Googled. And I know that I have answers. So I wanted to package that up. So I started a subscription group, three plus years ago-ish, something like that, that offers community and it offers some tools and it all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's been kind of ticking along really since then. And then I also have other programs as well. I have more in-depth long-term coaching programs because people find me from my podcast or my book or my books or other stuff. And then they want to work with me. I mean, I'm not the leading expert in the field by any means, and I don't have a PhD, but my thing, I think, is emotional sobriety. It's that you need to have boundaries and we need to be able to deal with resentments and we have to balance our emotions. And that's all the stuff that's kind of under the rock when you take alcohol and drugs away. And that's, and I'm also very, I'm not vague. I have really practical tools, like very, like, this is how we do it. Because people used to say to me, like, you just need to do the work. And I'm like, what's the fucking work?
Right.
What is the work? What is it?
Right.
So I'm very, very specific as well. Mm-hmm. So I do that in my more kind of in-depth long-term coaching programs.
I just choked on your brilliance. So as I'm always ever fascinated by the entrepreneurial aspect of this, how much did the book play into this is my business goal? Were you specific about I want to get X number of people into my program, things like that?
Well, the book's only been out a month and its release date in the UK is not until March the 1st. So that's all still underway. I think it's a lot of the stuff, you know, it's everything I am and I believe and I teach and the program that I work on myself is in my book. This is what I know works. It transformed my life. I've worked with many thousands of people now over 20 years. And the people who do this work, and I was stressed very imperfectly, it works for them too. So I wanted something out there that I could be, this is my thing. This is the thing. Mm-hmm. Do the thing. And if you want to do the thing even more, come to me and we'll do the thing.
But I remember too, standing in your kitchen and you saying, you know, I'm really going to invest in a publicist because like it's worth it to me to really blow this up. So, so tell me about that decision. Because of course, you know, we get a book deal and then sometimes we pay more for the publicist than we got for the deal.
Sure, absolutely. And I think I'm probably like even Stevens with that now. Mm-hmm. So my challenge has always been that I don't come from a marketing or PR background at all. And lots of people who've started businesses come from that background, don't have the qualifications or skills to get people sober, but know how to market. And that's key. So I have spent, you know, trying to learn how to do that has been a big learning curve. So yeah, I mean, I've been on the Doctors, the Sunday Times in London, which is the oldest newspaper in the world, ran an extract in an interview yesterday. There's some other stuff coming out. I think it remains to be seen. I think that's a question a year from now that I'll be able to answer more accurately. I mean, it's always kind of a thrill and interesting to see your stuff out there and be hit in a different, you know, hitting a different audience. Whether that pays off with my business and everything else, I'm going to say that remains to be seen right now. I mean, I think you just, whatever you do, you got to do it, just do it within your budget.
Well, I can guarantee you a conversation in a year from now and 5 years from now and 10 years from now, you're not going to even be able to explain how much it's paid off. It's interesting. I just wrote this thing, yesterday, about this misconception that people have that it's all like launch week. And suddenly everybody's reaching out to me to speak and, you know, Good Morning America wants me on. And I heard somebody, I was at a marketing conference last week or in mastermind, and somebody said, he has a co-writer, Dan Sullivan. I already put this in my newsletter. He was public about it. He wrote this book called Who Not How with a co-writer. He gives all the money to the co-writer. The co-writer gets the advance, proceeds, whatever, because he knows what it's going to bring to his business. It's brought in 400 new people and the lifetime value of every client is $40,000. So that's $16 million. What he does is he calculates the long-term value, even after he's gone, what is the value? And so I really think it's important to look at it like how much, you know, over the next 30 years,
yes,
what is this going to bring me?
Yeah. And you always say this as well. And it's true. It's not like a 1 month thing. I mean, sobriety books have a long, 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 long runway. And, you know, I self-published a book over 10 years ago that people still find me from that.
Really?
So and that's how I started my business. People would just reach out and be like, can I work with you? And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, I need to figure that out. Right. Absolutely. That it's hard to measure the value.
Right.
But there's, a lot to be said for name recognition and bringing a new audience in and all of that kind of stuff. I have, I did an interview again with a sober journalist. It's very interesting to me how it works with the, like, we've had people, people in media who drink alcohol, however they drink it, let's assume they're fine. They're the ones who are, just what we want is tips for cutting down, tips for getting through dry January. Whereas when we find sober journalists, they're the ones who want to do a big in-depth interview and really get it. And I found that very interesting, that kind of how people don't want to, like, getting through those gatekeepers has been very interesting to me. People don't want to have that conversation. I've got there's a newspaper, the free newspaper for the London Tube that everyone gets, it has a circulation of like 28 million. So I'm interested to see what happens to that. Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Tell me about what you mean by getting through the gatekeepers, getting to the people who understand.
Yes, I find my publicists, they get resistance with promoting this book through because the gatekeepers, like, it's kind of like, it's either like a dramatic, like, rock bottom story, or like they want the medical bit, and I'm not a doctor, I don't have a PhD. They want the medical, so they don't quite know what to do with it. And I just find drinkers, the core message of the book, if I could sum it up in a hashtag, is we are having more fun than you are. The core message of the book is we drink too much because we believe it's fun, exciting, we get belonging, connection, we get things we want. And what the book is, The Emperor's New Clothes. What it reveals is that you can have those things through drinking sometimes, and there's always a cost, and you have to be prepared to pay the cost. Here's the cost, by the way, it goes up every year. Or you can get all of those things without drinking, by the way.
Right.
That's the core message. And I don't think people want to hear that necessarily.
Do you try to, you know, say yes to the sort of tips for Sober January and then get your message in there? Or do you just sort of say no to those opportunities?
Yes. Yeah. That's what I did on the doctor's show, was it was tips for dry January and that kind of stuff. So I'm happy to do that. I mean, if you know, there's lots of people who are exploring their drinking, and it's appropriate for them to cut down, and they can. Mm-hmm. You know, there's definitely that group of people. So I'm happy to do that. It's a little bit of a Trojan horse, I guess.
Do you have tips for finding journalists and bookers that understand your topic? You know, because I had, you know, at one point when I was trying to promote something, I looked up who has written about recovery in a way, well, or journalists who've written about being sober. Did you do any of that research or do you have tips for doing that?
Yes, there's a couple of things. That's what my my PR people are reaching out to. There's a show on, I don't know if you, have you seen that show, Single Drunk Female yet?
No, but I've seen a poster for it. And I was like, wait, yeah. What is that?
People keep mentioning it to me. So I started watching it the other day and I emailed my publicist and said, that was my story. She's 28. Her life is car crashed. She's on probation and she's living at home with her mum. I wasn't on probation, but I was like, I was 27. And it's really interesting because she has two friends and she has one friend who's a single mother, but still partying and like having a great time drinking. And she has another friend who's getting married, buying a house, kind of said. And it's like that. I was like that at 27, 28. I was just like, everybody else my age is partying and having a great time, or they're buying houses and settling down. And that seems like freaking like impossible. Like, how does that even happen? And I'm just the loser here, not drinking, going to church basements on a Saturday night. Mm-hmm. No idea what I'm going to do with my life. No direction, living at home, like a car, like that was my life. And it's like, thank God, thank God that happened, because now I have this life. But it's a good show. It's interesting. You'll like it, I think.
So you had your publicist reach out?
Yeah, and say, like, because that's a current show, and say, you know, the headline being, I was the single drunk female and this is what my life is like now, type thing. It's like a sliding doors moment.
Yeah. So it's like using that show as the news hook.
Yes. Yes. Because it's a current thing.
Yes. Yes. I think that's so important is, you know, I always say no one cares that we have a book. What they care about is what can that book do for them? And then the only thing that journalists and bookers care about is how does this play into the news? So it's up to you to figure that out. Yes. Rather than going, why doesn't anyone care? Like, you know, reaching out to a show and going like, hey, I'll come on and talk about my book. And that's even true for podcasts. Nobody wants to just be your solo promotional material, yeah, you know, conduit. So we have to come close to wrapping up. What tips do you have for somebody who wants to, you know, have a book help build their business or get the book out there or anything like that?
I think the best tip I can give people is you just have to freaking well do it. I mean, I've done it both ways. You know, I wrote a book with no idea how to write a book, publish a book, or market a book. And I did those things. I'm sure I missed a ton of opportunities. I made a lot of mistakes, but it gave me something. So I think I don't know, you've worked with writers your whole life. I think, I imagine the biggest obstacle is the going from talking and thinking about it to actually sitting down and doing it. So I plan it out and write a few hundred words and just keep writing it, because then it takes on a life of its own and demands to be finished, is kind of what happened to me. It just demands you. I have another book that's burning inside of me that I really, really want to write. And it's another self-help book on relationships. So, and I also know that that is done. I know that that will be. So I think you've just got to do it. Just write mm-hmm. something, even if it's just blogging or Instagram or whatever, just keep going from there. And also find the right people to work with. I want to say my book coaches were essential. Mm-hmm. That was really the first, just to be able to, the first book coach taught me how to write a book. And the second one taught me how to do a book proposal and get it to agents. So I think unless you're incredibly lucky or know the business, you've got to be prepared to hire the right person is probably the best advice.
Yes. I've seen it so many times, especially with my membership group. So these are people that are, a lot of them are writing. They don't know why they're writing. They don't have a business necessarily. They just want to do it. And I've watched them all, you know, I think having accountability is a big thing. You are paying money. and therefore you are going to do it. Most of us are like that. And you see, I see these people have these breakthroughs where suddenly it becomes, it goes from something they feel like they have to do to something they want to do to something that, you know, they must do.
Yes. Yeah.
So, okay. You're fantastic. How can people find you, find your book, all the things?
So the book is called Soberful: Uncover a Sustainable, Fulfilling Life Free of Alcohol. And you can find me at soberful.com, or I'm on Instagram as Veronica J. Valley, or I have a Soberful Facebook group called Soberful.
And since you are a podcast listener, you who are listening, she has this wonderful podcast. If you are super curious or want to know all about her, go get that podcast, also called Soberful.
Yeah, everything's called Soberful. It's not
everything.
Hard.
See, branding, people, branding. Veronica, thank you so much. And thank you all for listening.
Thanks, Anna.
Thanks for joining me this week on Entrepreneur Publishing Academy with Anna David. For more info about the show, go to entrepreneurpublishing.academy, where you can get links to show notes and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, and all the other places. Speaking of those places, if you got anything out of this show, I can't tell you how much I'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. And please don't forget, you can tell an author or entrepreneur friend about the show. Another forget-me-not, my company Legacy Launchpad Publishing is available to help industry leaders and those with stories to share at any stage in their publishing journeys, whether that's writing, editing, or publishing. Just go to legacylaunchpadpub.com to find out more. And be sure to tune in next week for next week's episode. You know, if you subscribe, you never have to worry about missing one.